Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Okay, so if you listen to this podcast, and of course you do because you're listening now, or you read the Tampa Bay Times or TampaBay.com, you would have known. In fact, it wouldn't have surprised you at all, even brought maybe a grin to your face, that Antoine Winfield Jr. received the franchise player tag before the deadline on Tuesday, worth $17.123 million for 2024, as we had said he would if they were unable to get a long-term deal. Now, the designation in this case is not for the season. It is more of a placeholder. They've made progress on their talks. Winfield, of course, all-pro safety. You know, franchise player tag guarantees you a one-year salary of, you know, the average of the top five players at your position, or 120% of what you made previously. But he's top two safety, maybe the top one safety in the league last year. So he's going to probably, his contract will average probably north of 17, probably closer to 20, and he would be the first $20 million safety. But that said, they've done this before. They did it the second time that they franchised Chris Godwin in back-to-back years. They franchised him, and then less than, I think, 10 days later, they signed him to that three-year, $60 million contract. He's in the last year of that. This year, he'll make $20 million. So, you know, I think you won't see Winfield play under this amount, but I'm not surprised that this is what it came down to. And always, whether you were talking about Mike Evans, who we'll get into, and what his real contract numbers are, or Baker Mayfield, who is going to cost you, from a franchise player standpoint, some $37, $38 million right now on the cap. This was the only one that made sense, because while 17.123 is not what you want for his cap value in the first year of a long-term deal, it at least was the least of the three, and you could get it, you know, you could afford it, basically. You had room for that one-year contract, which goes on the start of the new league year. Unless, again, as we said, they've got a little over a week now, and that's what they did, you know, in the past with Chris Godwin to finish off this deal and make it more cap friendly for 2024. And that's what I think will happen. But yeah, this news did not surprise me. Surprise some, maybe.
I had to chuckle when I saw the news.
Did you now?
I did.
You apparently were not chuckling alone, but okay.
Yeah, I was wondering if, you know, maybe Antoine Winfield Jr. was sitting back puffing a cigar as he got news that he's going to get paid $17 million at least next year.
I don't know. Somebody was blowing smoke, though, that's for sure. It wasn't me. I was actually trying to let people know what was really happening.
Well, but that's why they call a show Prep Tampa Bay.
There you go. That's all you got to do is listen, man. So, listen, the guy... Whatever he gets, okay, whether it's $20 million a year, whatever he gets, this cat's earned it. Like, he went out in his contract year, and he'd actually played really well the first 3 years too. It's hard to believe he's already played four seasons, but he went out in his fourth season and made almost every play that could be made. I mean, I've been doing this a long time. The only player that I could see fill up a stat sheet like that, and he did it a couple times, was Rondé Barber. You know, from a different position, from a nickel corner position. This guy's on the far back side of the defense. He's the last line of defense as a free safety, but he plays at every level. And so he had 122 tackles, which is a ton of tackles. Not necessarily in a good way, but for a safety. But the way he makes them, it is good. Because he's coming down in the box. He led all defensive backs. He had six sacks. Which is a lot. And he had three interceptions. One of those ended the game at home against Carolina. It was much needed. They were only clinging to a small lead, and he ended that game. He also forced six fumbles. I mean, that's Peanut Tillman. You know, that's the Peanut Punch neighborhood. When you get six fumbles that you forced in one season, which led the NFL, is remarkable. And he got four of those. He recovered. And that included, you know, one that he had in the season opener against Minnesota, where he had the sack, forced fumble, fumble recovery. He also, if you remember that close game at Atlanta, he got the ball out and in the end zone, and it was recovered, you know, for a safety by the Bucs in what was a close game. So, you know, Winfield, I don't know that I've seen. In fact, I know I have not seen. And I'm talking about guys like John Lynch, right, who had many, many good years, played a different game, obviously, was more of a thumper, not so much a ball hawk or that sort of thing. But I'm talking about Hall of Fame players. This cat had the best year, arguably the best year of any defensive back, certainly the best year of any safety, and he's going to be the highest paid safety in the game, in my opinion.
And deservedly so, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what? This year, defensive back-wise, you have him and Deron Bland.
Yeah, and Bland had, you know, five pick sixes, which is an anomaly, and I don't know how that ever happens. The odds of that are pretty incredible, but yeah, all the credit to him.
Mm-hmm. No, and look, we've said since his rookie year, I mean, he's got gold jacket potential.
No question. No question.
And the way he's playing the first 4 years, if he can keep that up and obviously stay healthy as part of it, you know, and he even, you know, he's been in the back, but what, last year they moved him kind of to slot.
Yeah, they put him in a bad position. I think what they did this year with him was smart to try to one.
He but got I'm saying he up. Was versatile enough to go do that. And he got hurt. And
it eventually got him because he's inside too much, right? So they still bring him down in there to affect the run game or to rush the passer. But for the most part, he played the deep middle. And but he still got, like I said, when they would blitz him, you know, the problem with the Bucs this year wasn't the pressure. It was how they had to get it. You know, the problem was that Todd Bowles had to dial up pressure instead of just rushing forward and getting home. Mm-hmm. And anytime you have to dial up, you're going to give up something on the back end, right? And so even though the numbers look good for a guy like Winfield, there's a lot of plays that went over their heads because Antoine was coming down or linebackers were coming down or something was happening. They didn't win every battle. So, you know, but Winfield Jr., he has a knack. If you watch him rush, it's really interesting. The key on those things, like they know where he is and they're trying to account for him. And most of the time, you would think that a running back whose primary job it is to pick those up, you would think that he would win, right? Because Antoine's not the biggest guy in the world, not the fastest guy in the world, not the most powerful. And so you just need somebody just to hold up, right? Chip him, hold him up, let the quarterback get the ball off. But when Antoine rushes and he's got a one-on-one against a running back, he abuses them. He does this thing where he becomes the aggressor in the terms of not just going after the quarterback, but like he puts moves on guys. He'll give him a dead leg to the right and then cut back to the left and like on a basketball court, almost a crossover move, and the guys are falling down. You know, they're flailing trying to reach him. And he does it so quickly and so naturally that it's hard to get hands on him. If you get your hands on him, obviously you're okay. But Antoine just knows how to set guys up back there and beat the running backs or whoever they have assigned to block them and get the quarterback. Not only does he get to him, he gets him on the ground. And a lot of guys hit the quarterback. A lot of guys affect the quarterback. But what I like about Winfield is he's going to get him on the ground. And many times the ball is going to come out too. So, he is everything that the Bucs hoped for and more when they drafted him out of Minnesota. He came with a great reputation from that school. And I think, and this is not a small thing, the fact that his dad played 12 years in the NFL and they're almost identical in size. And the people that I know that watched his dad play, and I saw him play, obviously I covered his games, but they say they're the same player in many regards. Like
they are. I was in Minnesota for 3 years.
You were in Minnesota. You saw him play. That's right.
I loved watching Antoine Winfield control a game from the back end.
Yeah, that's right.
He absolutely could control a game and impact and affect it, whether you threw the ball his way or not. Like,
that's right.
And there's so much similarities.
They're about the same size, right? I mean, they're, yeah, their games are similar. And his dad is still, and he was from his rookie year, but he's still a big part of his success in that these guys watch film together. Like, they get on the phone, they break down opponents. Like, he's involved, you know. Now, has that tapered off, you know, in year four more so than when he was a rookie in year one? Probably. I don't know for sure. But having a father who has been through it and has seen the game, you know, at that level from that same position is obviously been a huge advantage. And I always say, you know, nature versus nurture, nurture wins, right? And you know, so Antoine Jr. has all that talent and all that knowledge. But the difference in him, and I've heard Todd Bowles talk about this several times now, and it's a really hard thing to do, and the great players do it. Whether you're talking about Warren Sapp, Hardy Nickerson was the one that I remember. The thing that Antoine Winfield Jr. does, according to Todd Bowles, that's better than anybody out there today on his team is this. He practices as hard as he plays. He will jump routes, force fumbles, punch balls out, pick them up, run them 98 yards the whole way through the painted part of the end zone. He does not stop at practice. He comes out there and he approaches it like it's a game. And then when he gets to the game, he's already made those plays. He's already seen those things. He expects to make those because he's did it all week long against the scout squad, against the scheme that he's looking at. And Bowles says, he goes, it's unbelievable, really, because we're not surprised because we see it almost every day. He does that stuff in practice. You know, and you're like, oh, sure, he had an interception here. No, no, no. This guy gets the ball out. He hustles to the ball. He never gives up on anything. And then that translates to the game. So he's a special player. Now, what happens now? Well, like I said, they've got until about mid-July, if they need it, to reach a long-term agreement, or he plays under this cap, you know. And obviously, for salary cap reasons, just for locking him up reasons, you want to go ahead and finish up this long-term deal for Winfield Jr. And I would suspect, just my gut feeling is that it'll get done on or before the start of free agency, which is 4 o'clock on March 13th.
So you think that quickly?
Yes. That's what I believe.
That's good news.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was probably really close anyway. They were working on it to try to get it done. But at the end of the day, I think both sides were pretty confident that, okay, you know, we're not done yet. And truth be told, the Bucs probably have some moves to make with some veterans still before next Monday, or I should say next Wednesday. And I think that you're going to see them make some moves to save some salary cap money and other things. And so, you know, clear some money, work on Baker Mayfield, which is next. And then, you know, ideally, and this happened with Chris Godwin, it was the day of the free agent signing period where he could have then, you know, just stuck with the tag or, you know, whatever. They went ahead and they signed him to a long-term deal. It took him about 10 more days to finish it off. And I kind of feel like that's where we're going. I think that's where we're headed. I don't think there's going to be one of those, he plays the season under the franchise tag or sometime between now and July, they get a new deal. I think it's going to be quick. That's just my gut feeling. I could be wrong as rain. But in the meantime, while they button up that deal, now we turn to Baker Mayfield. And that's going to be, you know, we talked about this a little bit the other day. The band is going to stay together. Mayfield can see this. Every player they bring back, I think, is a positive sign for a guy who professes to want to win and loves playing here and loves his teammates. So these are all really positive things if you're in the re-signed Baker Mayfield camp. And with him, it's interesting. Like, I don't sense they're as close with him as I would have wanted them to be or thought they would be, because I think there's some disagreement in value. And there's some talk that Mayfield might have a market. You know, the free agent market right now is really weird. Russell Wilson was informed that he's going to be released on the start of the new league year, and he's able to start talking to teams. The difference there is that Wilson is getting paid just an unbelievable amount of money by the Broncos, and he will sign. There's an offset, but he will sign essentially with a new team for probably a minimum base salary of a little over $1 million. And it'll be the Broncos paying his salary. He becomes a viable option at quarterback for some teams. And the way it's going to go, Steve, in my opinion, is this. I think Kirk Cousins is the number one free agent at quarterback. That's Agreed. What I think.
Agreed.
Just even coming off the Achilles, he's done enough on tape. He's won. The report was on Tuesday, he's moving his family to Atlanta, and that's where I think he's going to go. But regardless, that domino has to fall, I think, before even Baker Mayfield does. And if somehow Mayfield doesn't sign by the start of free agency and you see a Kirk Cousins come to Atlanta, Minnesota will be calling. And that's an intriguing place, I think, for Mayfield, because they've got some great players, right, starting with their wide receivers. And so there's going to be a domino effect here. Now, Russell Wilson, where does he fit in? Like I said, you know, does he go to Pittsburgh? Is he in play if Atlanta doesn't get Kirk Cousins, who could go maybe even back to Washington? Like, it's going to be musical chairs with those three or four free agent quarterbacks, and I think it's going to happen quickly. And I think part of that equation, too, is, you know, Mayfield re-signing with the Bucs, you know, like that. To me, there might be a market for him. I know the Patriots, for example, had kicked the tires, and they got a bunch of guys from the Browns that like Baker Mayfield, but Baker doesn't want to go to New England. He don't want to live there. I'm told he thinks it's a rebuild. He wants to win as much as anything. He knows he's going to get paid. Now he knows, but he wants to win. And that's how you get paid again, right? So, because he's looking at probably a 2-year deal, maybe a 3, but it all comes back to guaranteed money. We'll get into that with Mike Evans' deal. But I think, you know, I think Mayfield will have to kind of, if he doesn't re-sign right away, if he makes it to free agency, the order, I think, is going to be Cousins. And then I think the market is not as fertile for Justin Fields as maybe the Bears thought it was. I'm not saying he won't end up in, say, you know, Las Vegas or someplace like that, because he could. They could still make a deal, but it's not the kind of deal the Bears were hoping for. And I don't think it's Atlanta's first choice. That's just my opinion. I don't know for sure. But obviously Fields is going to play in there somewhere, and then Baker. And Baker's an option for everybody because of the way he played. That's why I don't think Baker makes it to free agency. I think even though they're, from what I understand, they're apart on value, I think – you know, step one, you get a coordinator like Liam Cohen that knows him, that had him with the Rams, brings in a similar offense. Step two, you bring back Mike Evans, which was absolutely what they wanted to do. All that's left is step three, come around the number that he thinks he's worth. If he's going to sit there in his agent and say, we got to have $40 million, they paid Daniel Jones $40 million or whatnot, I don't think it's going to go down. You know, if he's 30, above 30 a little bit, then maybe. But it doesn't feel to me like he's going to get $40 million from the Bucs. I don't know if he would get it somewhere else either. But speaking of contracts, we'll get into those and what is real and what was told to reporters by Mike Evans' agent. You want to make sure that you kind of hear this story, because I think it says some things both about the market and, you know, what kind of season we're in. We're in the exaggerating season just a little bit. So Mike Evans coming up, and then we got a couple of your mailbag questions as well. First, I want to remind you guys that for the past 14 years, the skilled pros of May Electric Solar have been installing solar energy systems in Florida. They provide the most reliable solar equipment, the best installation methods and service, while helping homeowners cut energy costs with an environmentally friendly investment. Now, May Electric Solar uses their own skilled employees, never subcontractors, and they have always offered the safest and most reliable equipment. Well, now May Electric Solar is offering a 30-year no-cost equipment replacement and labor warranty. That means for 30 years, May Electric Solar, backed by Solar Insure, means that your roof, your electrical and equipment replacement, it's all covered. Solar Insure even survives May Electric Solar and is owned by the homeowner, also with no deductibles or additional fees. Now, this policy will transfer to new homeowners with no fee. It's not a blanket insurance policy. In fact, only the best contractors are allowed to be part of its program. May Electric Solar's reputation, history, workmanship has earned them this membership. To learn more about May Electric Solar's installation and their 30-year warranty, call 727-819-2862 or visit mayelectricsolar.com. So I don't have a contract with the Tampa Bay Times. We're kind of a right-to-work deal, you know, virtually day-to-day, as most of us are in this country. But if I did a new contract, I think I'd put this clause in it, Steve, that if I win back-to-back Pulitzer Prizes, they owe me the equivalent of half my salary.
I think you should just put if you win back-to-back Aspies.
Well, now, there you go. Or how about Florida Sports Writer of the Year? Does that bring anything with it?
Absolutely, it should.
Yeah, should. Still waiting. I know there's a big trophy waiting for me in North Carolina this June whenever I go up there. But that said, it's sort of similar with Mike Evans. Now, Mike Evans, who everybody loves, and he's worth, in my opinion, as much money as he can get. His agent Derek Gilmore, when the deal was done, remember the story that they were expecting a lot of interest from other teams, i.e., probably talked to a few at the combine. Allegedly, that's right. I'm glad you said that. I'm not trying to be malicious here. And then they announced, or Gilmore said or told some people, that Mike was going to enter free agency, that it was kind of a foreclosed conclusion. He wanted to play with an elite quarterback. He wanted to have a chance to win. He had certain little check boxes that he wanted, but he was going to enter free agency. And you're like, okay. And we said it at the time. I get it. I mean, the guy's never been wined and dined since coming out, you know, before he went to A&M and only been with one team. Maybe, you know, Peyton Manning changed teams. I mean, so many players have changed teams and had success. Okay. So he wants to look around a bit. Maybe he comes back and shops that with the Bucks and they match it. Maybe not. Who knows how it's going to go. And then Bammo. Come Friday, or Saturday, I guess it was, Mike Evans allegedly called his agent and said, I want to be a Buck for life. Okay. What's that going to cost us? Well, they started negotiating, and originally, Gilmore reported this deal as 2 years, $52 million. Now, this is a 31-year-old receiver. 2 years, $52 million, which is a phenomenal contract, right? And also, $35 million of that was guaranteed. So if you just took those numbers, you would say, wow, just by average annual salary, you know, this cat is like the fourth highest paid receiver in football, right? Tyreek Hill and a couple of those guys, Cooper Kupp and some others. So it sounded great. $26 million a year average, $35 million guaranteed. Yeah, that's not exactly what the deal is. Now, before I say this, Mike's worth every penny and then some. And I should be so lucky as to get a contract like this and people take shots at it. But what it really is he's going to earn $41 million in 2 years. That's sort of what the deal is. Now, there's $11 million that comes in the form of performance incentives and escalators, things like that. So You know, he's going to make $23 million guaranteed in 2024. He's due to make $18 million in 2025, but only $6 million of that is fully guaranteed, and he has a $6 million guarantee for injury. So he's got some protection. But if you break it down, that's $20.5 million a year. You're at $500,000 more a year than Chris Godwin will make in 2024. Does that surprise you?
Yes, it does. Very much so. Which either means there wasn't a big market for it.
Right.
Or Mike just really wanted to stay here.
He just left money on the table.
And maybe part of it is, I'll leave some money so you can get Baker back.
May well be it, because I still believe that he has to have a pretty good idea, especially with this contract, that his quarterback's going to be good. You know, it's going to be Baker. You know, like, I don't know, why am I signing back when I don't? I could have waited until they signed the quarterback and then made my decision or gone somewhere where the guy was quote-unquote elite already. But he went ahead and re-upped, not knowing exactly the fate of Baker yet, or does he, right? Now, I can tell you, just in the discussions I've had, you know, with Baker's agent, they've not, you know, the focus has been these last few days on Mike Evans and then Antoine. And so at some point they'll come back to Baker, probably now, and say, okay, let's try to get this done before the start of free agency. And
that may have been at Baker's behest. He may have said, get those two guys back.
Yeah, get Mike back. I mean, he was kind of adamant about that. Like, he said step one was Liam Cohen, but he wanted step two done.
I would think he'd want Antoine Winfield back too, because he's the difference maker. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely.
It's that complimentary football. I mean, yeah, you want Mike back as your quarterback, but boy, you like guys that can help you get the ball back.
Yeah, you do. And he won a bunch of games. He closed out a bunch of games. And that's what Baker, his number one criteria in talking to Tom Mills' agent is, he wants to win. Okay. Not play somewhere, not get paid. Those are all, he feels like he's going to get paid wherever he goes. But he wants to win. And the way you win, to your point, is keep your best players, Antoine Winfield Jr. Give me my best receiver, Mike Evans. You know, give me my best place kicker, right? Who's got a leg from 60 yards in Chase McLaughlin. Give me the best leader in Lavonte David. And if they do all those things, Baker's going to have a chance to win and be here for a long time. Because that's how quarterbacks stick around, is they win games. So all that might be part of it for sure. But even though there hasn't been any talks, you know, haven't really increased dramatically, at least as of Tuesday afternoon, I expect them to. I think he's next. You know, I think Baker is that next guy that they'd like to announce before we get to even the tampering period or the free agent negotiating period on the 11th. That's what I believe. Will it happen? As of Tuesday, nothing really had happened, okay? But again, they were dealing with Winfield. You kind of chop these trees down one at a time. You can't really look at the whole forest. So they're getting the ones that they need now that'll help them attract the others later, if that makes sense. But yeah, that contract is like, woo, we're doing a little creative writing. I thought I was a good writer until I saw some of these numbers. But really, Mike and Chris are paid about the same, you know, and clearly they're not the same player, nor do they have the same production. They're also not the same age. Mike is 31. I believe last time I checked, Chris Godwin was 28. So they're in a different place, even though I would argue that, you know, Evans is in such better shape physically because he's changed his body and he's been able to avoid the big hit, the big injury. You know, he doesn't have two torn knee ligaments that he's had to deal with coming back from. So that's all part of it. And I still expect that Chris will do well, especially if they put him back in the slot where he belongs. And Cohen has kind of indicated that that's what he wants to do. So I think that'll work out.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
right, we'll get to a mailbag question or two here, Rick. And Greg asks, if the Bucks bring back Baker Mayfield, don't you think they will try and find a few key free agents to accelerate their chances of winning another Super Bowl? They really aren't that far away from winning the NFC.
I mean, I wonder about how much money they will have, right? Like, that's the thing that I'm not exactly sure about. There's two kinds of free agency. There's what's going to go on, you know, is kind of going on now, which is, you know, you tag your best players or you re-sign your best players, or free agency starts and the guys are going to make big contracts in the first, really by the weekend, that all that, that level, that first level will be done. But then there's a secondary free agency where some of the bargains come in, and then there's more after the draft because, you know, teams will draft players and they'll realize that the guy they drafted, they have a veteran that they probably should let go of, and they will. So there'll be some players available after the draft as these rookies come in and teams try to make room for them on the roster or in the lineup. So that's a secondary free agency thing. But I don't think the Bucks, just in general, based on their finances, if they, you know, if they do what Jason Light says, well, should warrant a boat parade, and you get Evans and you get Mayfield and you get Winfield and you get Chase McLaughlin and you get Lavonte David, you know what, man, that's a pretty full roster. If there's any money left over, God love you, you know, go try to do it. But I'm not sure they're going to have a ton. Doesn't mean there won't be any, you know, because guys are getting cut all the time. And other teams will release players to make sure their rookies get on the 53 as well. So you got to look for bargains. But on the surface, I don't think beyond their own guys, I don't think they're going to be a big player for free agents. Now, maybe, okay, depending on what happens with Lavonte David, maybe there's an inside linebacker out there, right? Certainly you could use an edge rusher. Remember when Shaq Barrett came here, he came here for 1 year, $4 million. He was a guy that was kind of stuck on the bench behind a bunch of all pros in Denver, and he came here and has 19 and a half sacks his first year. So if you can find some guy that's, you know, hungry like that, that just wants to play every down and make his mark, go, you know, have at it. But I don't expect them to be very involved in free. I think they like their young players. I think they feel like they have some depth at the corner position. The draft is really good at wide receiver. It's good at offensive line, which they need. So yeah, I don't think they bring in many, but I think Jason's right that if he can pull this off, him and Mike Greenberg, it's worth more than a toast.
Kyle asks, will the Bucks restructure at least 2 to 3 contracts to add more money to the cap this year? Would they get it from Godwin, Davis, and Vea in order to add players from free agency?
I mean, those are the guys you go to, right? It's always the last ones in. They're the ones that have the most room in terms of, you know, they have the higher base salaries, and you can always pay those guys. You know they're going to make the team, right? Because you sign them to this long-term deal, so you can always pay them this year's salary. And push money further back. And that's a kind of a feel thing, okay? Like, okay, we wanted to clean up our cap, and this will not be cleaning it up. Who is the player that we're hunting? Is he going to be a game changer or, you know, change our team? I think that's important. And then what does a restructure look like? Like, there are times when you'll go to a player and say, hey, I want you to take less money. Now, I think about a guy like Russell Gage, you know, but sometimes when you do that, you add money in the cap and all of that depends on the structure of the deal. But there's going to be some guys cut. I'm not sure that Russell Gage is going to play here next year, coming off the, you know, I think it was not a PCL, but ligament near the kneecap and pretty serious injury. But they'll save $6 or $7 million by cutting him, you know, and. So I think you're still going to see some more of that. I just don't expect there to be a lot of new faces in here outside of the draft, which absolutely, if they can knock it out of the park like they did a year ago, they'll be good. But I don't expect a lot outside of their own.
Jerry asked, hey guys, so it's fair to say Mayfield will be the first starting quarterback to receive a second contract in Buccaneers history. Something else to drive fans crazy is Buccaneers have never seen success with a quarterback they have drafted. The latest experiment was Trask, but so far, no. To be fair, Trask was buried on the depth chart, but is there someone on the staff to evaluate and develop a quarterback on the current staff?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's the job of the offensive coordinator. It's the job of the quarterback's coach. I don't think the Bucs have done Kyle Trask a favor with the different systems that he's played under. You know, Tom Brady is a big part of that, a big reason for that. It is bizarre with all the quarterbacks the Bucs have drafted, and we've been through the litany of them from Doug Williams to, you know, Trent Dilfer and Steve Young and all these first rounders that they took. They never got a guy to a second contract, Jameis Winston being, you know, the most recent example. And for good reason. When you see the way these guys play, you're probably not going to lock them up again. But, you know, Baker came in on a one-year deal, so he was going to have a contract. It's kind of a semantical, you know, trick question. But I think it's just because no one believed in him when he got here, and now they do. So it was kind of a pay-as-you-go type deal for him, and he won. You know, he bet on himself. He bet on the Buccaneers being a stable franchise, one that he could thrive in. There wasn't a lot of BS. There's not a lot of hidden agendas. Everybody kind of pulls the rope the same way. They've got, you know, pedigree with Super Bowl champions up and down this roster. So, you know, he landed in a good place. And, you know, good for him to get a second contract if that's how it ends up. If it doesn't, then he's just changing addresses again, which I don't think in the long run is going to benefit Baker. I don't know that there's that many good choices out there. He knows it works here. He knows it works in a system similar to what Liam Cohen is going to run. The head coach loves him. The coach-quarterback dynamic is very important. And, you know, for the life of me, I don't see him going any other place. But, yeah, I guess he would join that legacy of quarterbacks who didn't make it to a second contract, albeit that he was only here on a one-year deal.
Didn't Tom Brady technically get a second contract?
Well, you see, Tom had money left on his deal. He retired. I believe, and I have to check this. He did a 3-year deal initially. Quarterback for 2, quit, and then came back and still had money left on his original deal. I think that's correct, but I'll check on that. I'm not exactly sure without calling up over.
We need this to be 100% correct.
Well, that's why.
Well, that was actually my question, not a mailbag.
Yeah. You want to put that in a mailbag and send it to me, and I'll be ready to answer it. I'll read it. But yeah, don't try to stump me. But yeah, I seem to think that you know, Brady's deal was at least 2 years, and I don't know what they did. Like, they pushed a bunch of money with, you know, same thing they always do with voidable years and try to create cap space and stuff like that. Look, Brady was the biggest bargain in the NFL forever and ever, including in Tampa. I mean, if you paid him what he was worth, he'd have been making $50, $60 million several years ago. You know, the only one that wants to pay him what he's worth apparently is Fox. But he used to leave a lot of money on the table because he always wanted it to be used on, you know, players around him. He understood that quarterback's the most dependent position on the field, and if I don't have good guys around me, we're not going to win. And so he would, you know, leave a little on the table as far as salary goes to try to help get the guys around him. All right, thanks for your mailbag questions. We'll do more of those coming up the rest of the week. If you want to, you can submit them as well on Twitter at SportsDayTV. You can reach me on Twitter at NFLStroud, or my email address is rstroud@tampabay.com. They did it again. Congratulations, man. The USF Bulls, another sellout and another win. This time, I guess, over the Tulane Green Wave, which was kind of a feisty bunch for a while, but they pulled away. And now they're down to one more game, right? Is that what they got left?
Yeah, they're at Tulsa this weekend, but this was the first home game ever as a ranked opponent.
That's crazy. And then they had a sellout crowd again, 3 in a row.
Yep, and then they got to do the confetti. They had the regular season trophy out there for...
That's awesome.
You know, it was great.
That's awesome. Yeah. How cool. Look, I basketball growing up was my favorite sport to play. Now, I played baseball and obviously went to college and played baseball at Arkansas State and all that, but and I cover football. To me, by far, basketball was the deal. And college basketball, that tournament is so much fun. And I covered the Gators for 2 years, and you know, but just to have that back in Tampa, right? To have that atmosphere, for it to be the thing to do to go root on the Bulls, and they keep winning and they're well coached and they won the conference and they're going to be the number one seed. Now, the question will be, do they have to win every game to make it to the tournament, or do they have to win, get to the finals? And is that enough, right? Like, there's still a slim margin of error here, but man, you'd love to see them in the NCAA tournament. Be fired up about that. All right, so more of your mailbag questions tomorrow. We appreciate you guys listening. Check out TampaBay.com and Tampa Bay Times for all the latest free agency news, even that some of which might make you chuckle. You never know. Thanks for listening. For Steve Burstick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.